Good morning. That was a little awkward, wasn't it? We don't do well with waiting, do we? Especially not if we have expectations that, you know, this is what's supposed to happen. And we have trained you well, haven't we? That we move briskly from one thing to the next here when we're having our services, and some of you probably get a little uneasy if there's like 30 seconds of dead space there. And I would make the case, I don't think it's a hard case to make, that waiting, that being patient is more difficult now, maybe than it's ever been, certainly than it's been for a long time. Back in 1951, Merriam-Webster recognized a new term in their dictionary, and the term is fast food. And so for the first time, food is known not primarily for its quality, not primarily for its quantity or its overall value, but because it's fast. Because it comes to us in speedy fashion. And we have come far since then, and we've found all kinds of new ways to continue to speed things up. So we have, you know, we have self-checkout. We have speed dating. We have instant messaging. We have the world of the 5G network. And I don't even know what that means, but I know that it's fast. And you know, when you're texting, you don't even have to spell out all the words, YGTRLOLSMH. In such a world, the quality of patience sounds kind of quaint and old-fashioned. Or maybe it seems more necessary than ever. Well, this, of course, is Children's Sunday, and I think the subject of patience is a good one for Children's Sunday, don't you think that? I mean, because kids and parenting have a way of being maybe a lab of sorts that could grow patience in us if we'd allow it to. We've been in this series called Locally Grown, where we're looking at what the Apostle Paul, writing to Christians in the province of Galatia in the first century, calls the fruit of the Spirit. These are qualities that describe God as he has revealed himself to us. And as people made in his image, we want to display those qualities as well. I've emphasized before, and I want to keep emphasizing, that these qualities are not things that we can force to grow in us. They are fruit of the Spirit. They come from God's Spirit inside of us. But hopefully, like a good gardener, even though we can't make things grow, hopefully we can create the kind of conditions where growth just might be possible. And so that's where we've been going. We continue there this morning. Let me just remind you of that key list that we're focusing on, that fruit of the Spirit list from Paul. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we've talked about the first three, love, joy, peace. And those three can seem kind of conceptual. They can even seem kind of abstract. They're kind of a big three. There's a lot of ways that we could think about and go with love, joy, and peace. And now we get to what one pastor called the small six. I mean, these last six are in some ways the nitty-gritty. I mean, they're really practical, real life kind of qualities. And so we're starting out that next six, talking about patience, or as this translation of the scriptures gives it to us, forbearance. Now, if we were to survey other translations, we would find different words used to describe this quality. So most translations that I saw use the word patience. And others go on to use words like long-suffering, or having an even temper, a willingness to stick with things, or even this, I like this sort of creative way of thinking about it, this patience, this forbearance as great-heartedness. This is a good word to do a little bit of a nerd word study dive into, this patience, this forbearance. And so let me walk you into that. The original word that the New Testament, the original language the New Testament was written in was ancient Greek. And the word that is translated as patience or forbearance is this word makrothumia. Makrothumia. Now, makrothumia is a compound word. So it's two words put together. And the second half of the word, thumia, we find the same base in an earlier verse. So if we back up in Galatians chapter 5 to verse 19 and verse 20. Here we find an interesting counter list to the fruit of the Spirit list. Here we find what Paul describes as the acts of the flesh. And that's really just Paul's way of saying, if we are living by our own power and initiative, this is the kind of thing that'll come out. If we're just depending on ourselves, he says the acts of the flesh are obvious, and he gives us an interesting list there. I mean, you know, you look at that list and we could probably agree we wouldn't necessarily want a lot of those things in our lives, but focus in on that bolded phrase on the screen there, fits of rage. Same base as the word patience or forbearance in the fruit of the Spirit list. So the form of the Greek word there is, in this verse, is thumos. And thumos means passion, it means heat, it means anger that kind of bubbles up quickly and then subsides just as quickly. So someone who is thumos, or who has thumos, is someone who is volatile, they're quick-tempered, they're edgy, they're irritable. That's thumos. Well, makrothumia adds another word in front of that, and it adds the word long. So someone who has makrothumia is someone who it takes a long time for them to get to that kind of bubbling over anger, irritation state. So this word, this patience, this forbearance, it's the ability to live with difficulty for a long time. It's literally that old word, long-suffering. The ability to suffer long. And it's not just about, you know, enduring, getting through it. It's about how you get through it. So it's suffering long without getting bitter, without giving up, without withdrawing, without lashing out. This is patience, or as the New International Version puts it, forbearance. And the reason they use the word forbearance is because just like in English, the Greek language has different words for similar ideas. And so they have a couple different words for patience. And this particular word that's used here, makrothumia, is the word that's used for primarily for patience with people. I mean, we need patience sometimes with circumstances, you know, with things that are beyond our control, that are happening in our lives. We need that kind of patience too. This is primarily about patience with people. Is there anyone in your life that you need patience with? If I were to summarize the definition of patience as we're talking about it this morning, this is the description that I would give. Patience is every fruitful quality. If you were here a couple weeks ago when we started the series, you might remember that I said these are a package deal, so it's not enough to say, well, I'm loving, but I'm not very patient. mean, we need all of them together. And so patience is every fruitful quality: love, joy, peace, faithfulness, goodness, kindness. It's all of the fruitful qualities lived out over the long haul, and they are lived out among difficult people. That's patience. Pastor Brian Wilkerson says, patience is standing by someone in their foolishness and fallenness without trying to fix them. It's inviting them into some relational space where they can begin to experience the transforming love of God. This kind of patience, we need to understand, it's not indifference. It's not apathy. This kind of patience is also not allowing yourself to be the victim of abuse. It's not enabling. It's not making excuses. It's not covering up. It's not taking blame. It is giving a second chance. Maybe sometimes giving a third or a fourth or a tenth chance. One pastor calls this kind of patience an unswerving willingness to await events rather than to force them. This is patience. How are we doing? Is this a fun one? You know, how is your patience meter this morning? One church did a survey of these nine qualities in the fruit of the Spirit and asked the congregation, which of these would you most like to or feel that you need to grow in? Would you be surprised to know that more than 50% of the congregation picked this one, this quality of patience? It's so hard. And yet it's a fruit, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It in fact is a core attribute of God. And I'd like you to see this. It's part of how God reveals himself to us, this attribute of patience. Many of you will know John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world." That's in the New Testament. It's the words of Jesus. Do you know what the John 3:16 equivalent is in the Old Testament? The verses of the Old Testament that actually are quoted other places in the Bible more often than any other. No, you don't know? Exodus 34, actually. Isn't that a go-to passage for all of us? Exodus 34. We find God revealing himself to Moses. And here's what it says. This is Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. It says, "And he passed in front of Moses," that is God, "passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.'" And you see, I bolded it for you there. The slow to anger, that's that quality. And these words are quoted multiple places in the Bible, but this is the first. This is how God introduces himself. And that quality, slow to anger, is one of his core attributes. Now, the Old Testament was written in ancient Hebrew compared to the Greek of the New. And you know what that phrase, slow to anger, is in the original language? This is just a little extra for you, it's because it's fun. It means long of nostrils. Long of nostrils. Because if you have an angry animal that, you know, is baring its teeth and kind of like a bull ready to charge, just snorting. I mean, that's a picture of anger. Maybe you've seen a person who is getting angry and their nostrils kind of flare as they do. Well, God takes a long time to flare his nostrils. Slow to get angry. In fact, God never loses control. I mean, he does get angry sometimes, but I think when he is angry, it is always measured, it is always strategic, it is always for a reason, and it is always appropriate to the situation. And you could make the case that's really the story of the Old Testament, is God being long of nostrils with people. With people who fail him, who reject him, who oppose him. I would make the case also that it's not an exaggeration to call this long-nostriled, slow-to-anger characteristic of God his most frustrating characteristic. Well, it's his most frustrating characteristic when he's showing it to other people who are not me, right? I want God to be patient with me. And you can go through the scriptures and you can find people writing who were frustrated with the patience of God, who are asking the question, how long, Lord, are you going to allow this to go on? Why is the injustice continuing? Why don't you answer us? And of course, the fundamental answer is because he's a long-nostriled, patient God who wants none to perish, but all to come to a saving knowledge and experience of him. I was looking for a good patient Jesus story to use with this sermon, because I wanted to unpack how Jesus was patient. And you know, I struggled. I mean, there are definitely situations where Jesus' patience was tested. And again, I'd make the case that if Jesus seems a little testy at points, it's not because he's losing control, but it's for a very strategic purpose, making a point that his disciples or whoever he's frustrated with needs to hear. But I struggled to find the perfect patient story. And I think part of the reason for that is because, I mean, really, patience isn't revealed in just one episode, is it? I mean, patience is really shown over the long haul. So if we want to see the patience of Jesus, then really what we need to do is we need to read the whole gospel. Shall we start at chapter 1 in Mark? We've got to read the whole story and see how it's revealed. And if you read the whole story, you'll find, I think, the patience of Jesus revealed in so many ways. I mean, Jesus started his public ministry when he was 30 years old. And we don't have a whole lot of glimpses of what happened before that. I mean, today, if someone doesn't launch, so to speak, until they're 30 years old, I mean, we kind of wonder, don't we? But Jesus didn't launch his public ministry till he's 30 years old. Presumably, for, you know, his teen years into his 20s, he was probably a carpenter, builder, alongside his earthly father, Joseph. But we don't know. Apparently, he was pretty patient when it came to moving into this role of rabbi in the Jewish world. Then when he did finally go public with his ministry, he's baptized, and then immediately he goes into the wilderness to be by himself for 40 days. Interesting way to start out, isn't it? Jesus walked everywhere he went. It's a very slow way to get around, isn't it? Jesus so often focused on one individual or a small group of people. When, I mean, if he were starting his ministry today, don't you think he should have spent more time building his brand? You know, catalyzing the exponential growth of his mega church? That's not what he does. He was pressured at times to do miracles or to gloriously reveal himself to people. And often he says, my hour has not yet come. And he says it so often that, you know, a listener might wonder, well, when is your time going to come? He invests the most in his disciples, who were slow to understand so much of the time, who were slow to serve and to trust and to obey. They doubted, they denied, they abandoned him at crucial moments. And yet he picked them, and he didn't abandon them, and he stuck with them. If you want to hone in on one example of the patience of Jesus, maybe the best example would be his relationship with his disciple Peter. John, the Gospel of John introduces Peter to us this way. Peter's brother Andrew brings him to meet Jesus. So it says, Andrew brought him, Peter, Simon Peter, to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. And there's a little footnote in your Bible there, if you follow along, that says that Cephas or Peter means rock. I have a feeling that there's more going on in this verse than words alone convey. Jesus looked at him. What did he see? He saw maybe a gruff fisherman who was passed over by other Jewish rabbis because he didn't have the stuff. He sees this rough around the edges, impulsive kind of person. He saw him and kind of took him as he was, but didn't leave him there. Apparently, he also saw who he could be. "You're Simon, son of John. You will be Cephas. You will be Peter." With all due apologies to Dwayne Johnson, the Rock. That's who you will be. Of course, he was not very rock-like for so much of the time. He got out of the boat and walked on water and then quickly sank. He saw the radiant glory of Jesus on a mountaintop and then kind of ruined the moment by making a silly comment because he didn't know what to say. He vowed to stand by Jesus to the end and only hours later denied ever knowing him. And yet, for all the highs and lows, for all his failures and foibles, Jesus was patient with Peter. And in John chapter 21, there's this beautiful picture of Jesus restoring him, giving him a safe place to reaffirm his love and commitment. So what will allow the Spirit to grow Christ-like patience in us? Well, I've got a little recipe of sorts, although it's not formulaic. Let me walk you through it. If we want to grow in patience, one thing it's going to take is time. How likely do you think it is that God will grow patience in us quickly? Kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? So it's going to take some time. Apparently, God seems to think he has all the time in the world, or at least enough time, to help us get there. Time. And then alongside the time, it's going to take something else. It's going to take an irritant. If God's going to grow patience in us, then he's going to have to give us something to be patient about, isn't he? Do you know how an oyster is formed? How a pearl is formed in an oyster? Well, it takes an irritant. It takes some kind of little particle or something that doesn't belong, like a grain of sand, to get in there, and the oyster can't kick it out. And so what it does is it secretes this substance around the grain of sand. And then it secretes a little more, and then it secretes a little more. Thousands of layers, depending on how big the substance is. Maybe for 20 years. And then you've got a pearl. Oysters can live up to 40 years, so one oyster might be able to produce two pearls in its lifetime. Jesus once compared God's kingdom to a merchant looking for pearls. And if God's kingdom is going to grow in us, it might be like the growth of a pearl. It might take an irritant. And that irritant might even have a person's name associated with it. Do you need an irritant in your life? Contact the church office this week and we might be able to find one for you. Time and an irritant, but that's not enough. It also takes a certain response from us, and that is a response of surrender. An openness, a willingness to allow this irritant over time with God's help to do something in us. A surrender. And then, as we surrender, we allow God's Spirit to work in us over time to produce patience. And so, three practical, I think fairly practical suggestions about how you might allow that process to happen in you as I close. If you want to cultivate patience, because remember, that's what we're talking about. How do we cultivate it? We can't grow it, but we can cultivate a space where it might grow. First of all, and I've offered this suggestion to you before. I suspect most of you haven't taken me up on it, so why not again? Go slow. Put yourself in positions where you have to go slow, where you have to wait. Stay in the right lane on the highway. Pick the longest checkout line. Put yourself in a place where you have to go slow. And what you'll do is you will give yourself time. You might even give yourself an irritant. And if you are surrendered, God might be able to work something in you in that moment. Go slow. Secondly, wonder why. You know, we're all prone to something called the fundamental attribution error, where we tend to see other people's actions as a function of their character or personality, and we tend to see our own actions as a function of circumstances. So, you know, when I do something, I have a legitimate reason to do it. I have an excuse for doing it the way that I do it. When you do something, particularly something that I don't like, what's because your character is flawed, obviously. And we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, but we want to hold other people accountable for what they do. What if instead of jumping to conclusions, making assumptions, what if we wondered why? Why did this person do that? I mean, regardless of what I think of their reason, chances are good they had a reason that seemed good to them at the time. What if we wonder why before we make assumptions? And lastly, give space. Jesus seemed to give his disciples lots of time and space to grow. What if we gave the irritants in our lives the same luxury? It might seem unlikely that the person could ever change, and yet we don't want to short circuit what God can do or wants to do. In another chapter of another letter, 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote about, pretty famously so, about love. Quality of love. Reuben read those words for us this morning. And when Paul describes love, do you know what the first word that he uses to describe love is? You can probably guess, right? Patient. Love is patient. Can we invite our patient Savior to inspire us with his example and work his patience in us? Let's pray. Jesus, the only way that we are going to look as patient as you is if we have an awakening to the kind of patience that you, our Savior, that your Father, that your Spirit have shown with us. The only way we're going to grow in patience is if we see your patience more clearly. And if we have you inside of us working through the experiences and circumstances of our lives, working through the people in our lives to grow it within us. I pray, Lord, that we would be open to that, that we would be willing to surrender ourselves, even lay ourselves down to allow you to work in us. For your honor and your sake, we pray, Jesus. Amen. We want to sing together.